Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we praise you and thank you for the opportunity to be here this very day to worship you, along with Christians all over the world who will be worshiping together at various times on this day. But all of us will join together in the sharing of communion, knowing that we break bread and we drink from the cup because of you, Lord Jesus Christ, the gift that you have given to us. Lord, please bless this time that we have together. Bless this message. And may the message that is each heart hears, may it be an inspiration and transformation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Fruit. Isn't it true that some years, some fruit has better seasons than the others? You know, some years it's a good season, some years it's not. With watermelon, I struggle with that because when I go to the store and I buy a watermelon, and I pick up watermelon, I don't know what you're supposed to do to know if you've got a good melon. I don't know if it's the shape, if it's the color, if there's a kind of a glow to it. I don't know if there's a smell to it. I don't know if you're supposed to beat on it and hear something, but I don't get it. Haven't figured it out. So every time I bring a watermelon home and I put it on my counter, I think, well, do I have a good one this time or not? And so I put the knife into the watermelon the first time, and it's at that very moment that I can know whether I have a good watermelon or not. Because the minute that knife goes in, if it's a good watermelon, it's just bursting with juice, doesn't it kind of just, seems to be just open a little bit itself, because it's just, you know, you've released this pressure. And so when I open that up and I see juice all over my counter and the watermelon's red, I think, oh, I've got a good one. But then there are times I put that knife into that watermelon and it doesn't really do much, and I open it up, and do you ever get it when it's like pink or kind of salmon color? And I think, oh, not such a good watermelon. Same happens with apples. When I go pick apples in an apple orchard this time of year, you know, I'm picking them, I'm thinking, I always hope that I pick crisp apples. The kind that when you bite into them, that the juice just runs down your chin. And I don't like it when I bite into an apple and it's kind of mushy, and maybe I bite into a bruise. I don't feel like I've got a winner there. Same thing with an orange. If I peel it back, I'm so glad when it's juicy. It's got beautiful color and I can smell it as I'm peeling it. But then there's other times that I do that same thing, and when I peel it back, it's kind of grainy and there's not much liquid in there. And I think, this is not such a good fruit. That's true with physical fruit. We can have variations in how good it is. But today we're going to talk about a supernatural fruit. And we're going to talk about a supernatural fruit that is always available. It's not seasonal at all. And a supernatural fruit that we can always count on, that it will always be absolutely delicious. Today, as we complete our four-week series on discipleship, which we titled it Disciple Shift. This is the last sermon in that series. And as a result of this series, I hope that we've thought about our own discipleship, our own journey, and our own growth, and the way that we relate to Jesus Christ. And I hope we've also been encouraged to grow in that way. Yeah, in one of the earlier sermons in the series, I talked about how there were not just 12 disciples. Every single person has the opportunity to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Every single person. It matters to if each one of us commits to grow in our relationship with Jesus, which will make us a disciple of Jesus Christ. One of the sermons I also challenged us to think about where we are on our journey of faith. Are we at a point where we know of Him, know of Jesus? Do we know about Him? Do we know about Jesus? Or do we know Jesus? And so I challenged us with that question just to do some self-reflection and find out where we are in that journey. And then the last sermon was we talked about, you know, how do we grow in our faith? And I said that we don't really grow in our discipleship when we sit in a row, shoulder to shoulder. If that's all we do, we don't really grow very much in our discipleship. To really grow in our discipleship, it takes circles, because it takes us being in community together to be challenging one another and holding one another accountable. That's when we can really see growth in discipleship. And so that's why here at Carmel United Methodist Church, we talk about those opportunities as being grow groups. So we say, are you in a grow group so that you will truly grow in your discipleship? And if you're not, you can contact the office anytime. You can talk to me. You can talk to our Minister of Adult Discipleship at any time, and we'll get you connected in a grow group so that you will grow in that way. To conclude this series today, we're going to go to the book of Galatians for our scripture today, as AJ referenced with the children. And I want us to know that that book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul probably around 50 to 70 AD. When I think about the Apostle Paul and the life he must have had and the kind of servant he must have been, I just always think of he had to probably live a life of continual conflict, because he was in conflict with the Jews, and he was in conflict with people who were arguing against Christianity. He was in conflict with people who were trying to change Christianity throughout his entire time. And while he was doing this, he was traveling all over the place, and he'd go to places where he'd start a church, and then he'd go back to a place where a church had been started, and he needed to do some redirection. And that was his entire ministry. Sometimes I get a little worn out thinking about that. But in this book, he's gone to Galatia because he has heard that Judaizers, people of Jewish faith, are trying to change the teachings of Christianity a little bit. And what they're doing is that they are telling people that in order to be a Christian, that first you have to be circumcised. And so, long story short, what they're doing is they're trying to draw Christianity back into the Jewish faith. And so Paul writes this letter to the church in Galatia to say, no, that's not exactly right. And there were some other things going on. And so he's with the church, and he shares many thoughts. So today, the thought we'll take from this book is Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. What I'd like us to do today is, instead of me reading the scripture out loud, I'd like all of us to read that scripture together out loud. So will you join me as it's projected? By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it finishes with, there is no law against these things. For every Sunday in this series, we have interviewed a church member to speak to the topic for that Sunday. And so obviously we're talking about fruits of the Spirit today. So please watch with me the video as one of our church members shares with us today.
Discipleship. What is a disciple? I think of discipleship as, or a disciple as a follower of Jesus Christ. And to follow Jesus Christ, we've got to understand what he wants and how he expects us to carry out what he wants. On March 22nd, 2015, I was baptized. Now, mind you, I was never brought up in a religious organization or even a spiritual setting. So one of the things I needed to really understand is, what exactly are the tenets of my faith? I had no idea what joy was, because I was seeking happiness all the time in my previous life. And yeah, sometimes you find it, but usually when you hit happiness, you find out it's not all that what it's cracked up to be. You want the next thing. It's I think in the Bible they use a term that it's the water that doesn't quench your thirst. Whereas joy, I think joy is sort of like happiness kind of turned down a little bit. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But It's sort of understanding my place in the world today, and knowing that since I've accepted Jesus Christ in my life, that I've always have been a beloved son of our Father. But now I really feel that feeling of belonging, and that gives me joy. In other words, no matter what disappointments happen in life, there's now this context that I can compare it to, or judge it by, that gives it the proper place. That also brings peace. When you've got the promise, that just brings the peace. As far as kindness and gentleness and self-control, I'm a work in progress. I think we all are. And, you know, Jesus tells us that his yoke is light and the burden is easy, or something along those lines. And, you know, I think that speaks to me that, you know, we're not perfect, and we're not expected to be perfect, but we are expected to try to be better than who we are. And we have the perfect example. And if we strive for that each and every day, then, you know, that's a pretty good day.
So Steve talks about fruit of the Spirit there, and it makes me think immediately of the scripture in Romans 7:22 that says, "For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self." God in my inmost self is that Holy Spirit that resides within us, and it's that Spirit that is within us that can bring delight and freedom to our lives. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, the faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want you to take a minute, and I want you to look at those, each one of those, as they're projected. And what I want you to do, you don't need to say anything out loud. What I want you to do is, which fruit right now would you like to grow in your life? If you could pick one, what would be the growing fruit in your life? Okay. Now that you have that in your mind, believe it or not, I'm going to ask you to take out your smartphones. I'm serious. Take out your smartphones. And take out your smartphones and get ready to send a text. Get ready to send a text. Okay, you ready? Got your smartphone. And if somebody near you doesn't have it, after you've put yours in, you may want to ask them. You want me to put your answer in too. So I want you to vote by texting that number right up there. 317-401-8986. And the number next to the fruit that you're craving that you want to grow in, type that in and then send. If you've got it, we'll have our results tallied at the end of this message. Before I read the scripture today, I shared with you the story of Paul and kind of what was going on and why he wrote this letter. And that's called studying the historical context of a scripture. I also think it's important that we, when we read scripture, that we also study the literary context. And so what this says to us is this: you can't just read one verse, pick it out of scripture, and apply it to whatever you want and in whatever way you want. There was a certain specific way that message is intended that its message be, but you have to read the entire context around that one verse so you can truly understand that. It's kind of like, when you're reading a book, do you ever start in the middle of the book and just read the middle of the book? You probably won't get it, because all of the other pages and all the other stuff that's in there is important to understand even just that middle of the book. So that's why we need to take a look at a literary context. So today, I want to take a look at the literary context, a few verses that appear in there before verses 22 and 23. So I want us to take a look at verses 19 through 21 together. And this will maybe help you understand why I have a bucket of weeds with me today amongst all this fruit today. So let me read those two verses to you, and I'm going to be reading from the version, the Message, because I feel like it explains these weeds in language that we can understand. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper, an impotence to love or to be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. So Paul talks about these in those verses, and what he calls these behaviors works of the flesh. He says that in humanity, that's kind of our natural tendency is to live our lives toward that condition. And we call those conditions sin, and we call them weeds. And weeds keep us from realizing fruit. This is, as I said, I have a bucket of weeds. And I have to do a disclaimer right up front. These are not out of my yard. Because I have to tell you, my yard is not big enough to sustain this much weed, as big as they are. I won't tell you where they came from. When I'm doing my gardening and weeding, isn't it true that we tend to battle weeds more like in August? You know, often there's a drought and the grass is thinning a little bit, and those darn weeds, they find all those little gaps in the lawn, and they just pop up everywhere. And you know, no matter how often we mulch and we spray and we pull the weeds, they still seem to come back. I was talking earlier this week with Charlie Rogers, one of our church members, who came over and was just on his own pulling the weeds in the prayer garden. He'd been out there pulling weeds for a long time. And we chuckled about that because we thought, you know, that garden's been there a long time and it's been maintained well. So we know that we've sprayed for the weeds, we pulled them, and we've mulched. And that garden is enclosed by four brick walls. So how in the world do we still, year after year, get all of these weeds that we have to pull up year after year? It just seems kind of crazy that that happens. Well, the thing I think we need to know about weeds is that weeds, whether crabgrass or dandelions or whatever it is, they can come in and they can choke out all the grass and all the plants in our yard, and they can take over. And what Paul says to us in this scripture, those first verses, is that all of those works of the flesh, they can take over your life so that you will not feel the work of the Holy Spirit within your heart. The Christian life is a continual battle against a sinful flesh. And Paul has said in Scripture, so if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. So we need to do away with the weeds in our life so that we can have all the fruit in our life be evident that we want to be evident and be a part of our lives. So the question really comes down to, we have a choice. Do I want to live a life, a Galatians 5, 19 to 21 life? Or do I want to live a Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23 life? And all of us have that choice. And it is an active process, and it is something that we need to choose, and it is something that we need to work with. The Holy Spirit resides within us, but we have to work with the Holy Spirit so that we have this fruit evident in our lives. We have to work with the Holy Spirit that is within us so that happens. So if I were to say today that there's something that I want you to know, that I would want you to take maybe one thing away today, this is what I would say to you. We cannot do nothing and expect fruit to grow. As we abide in Jesus, the fruit will grow, but the Bible shows us that action on our part is required to become more and more like Jesus. You have to see the fruit. It's going to be evident. when we make that effort. You know, it's kind of like, do I have trees that are going to go up? You know, I don't know if I necessarily would know it. I have an apple tree up on the left, and I have a pear tree on the right. You know what? There's no fruit on it, so I don't know what kind of fruit it could possibly bear. But the limb in the front that clearly has oranges on it, we know for sure that that is an orange tree. And that's important. So when we dig deep and we connect, the fruit is evident, and it's in our lives. Now, we talk about fruit, and it's not fruits, because when the Holy Spirit resides within us, that fruit, all nine of that fruit, is available to each and every one of us and is expected to be displayed by each and every one of us. We're to experience all of that fruit. So I just briefly want to talk about each one of the fruit, what it may look like in our lives. So when we talk about love, this fruit that we talk about in the fruit of the Spirit, this love is the Greek word agape. Now, we have three Greek words for different kinds of love. There's eros, which is a physical, passionate love. There's filio love. And the city Philadelphia is based on this. And that kind of love is a brotherly love. So Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. And then there's this agape love that is the word used in the scripture in Greek. And agape love is a love that is all-accepting, all-loving, and is shared with everyone. The kind of love that we get from God, that God hopes that we share with everyone that we interact with. Joy, as Steve said, joy is so much more than just happiness, because happiness depends on circumstances. When your circumstances change, maybe become difficult or challenging, the happiness can go away. But when we have joy within us, that from the Holy Spirit, that we can feel joy even in those moments when we're challenged in life. The deepest peace we can ever hope from is that we ever hope for comes from God. Now, the next three fruit are characteristics of a Christian life. Patience. Teach me patience, but hurry up, right? I prefer, when we read this scripture, that in the King James Version, they talk about patience, that it's long-suffering is the word that's used. And I like that word here for this, because that's honestly how we get patience, isn't it? That our patience is grown when we have these situations in our life that we don't necessarily want, the challenges, the tests, and it's in those situations that our patience can grow. Kindness is a wishing well for everyone, not having negative thoughts about anyone, even who challenges. It's those kind thoughts having for anyone. And generosity is the fruit that is really the most active, because this fruit turns wishes into actions. Generosity is actually doing something with and for, giving something with and for, so, to someone else. And then the last three fruits are they're really about us inwardly, because the first one is faithfulness. I don't know if you've ever heard this story of Gray Friar Bobby, about the little dog whose devotion and faithfulness to his master meant that for about 14 years, he laid on top of his master's grave. 14 years. True story. And if you go to Edinburgh today, to that cemetery, there's a statue. That statue is there. Greyfriars Bobby. That's faithfulness. It's steadfast. It's not in for the short run. It's there for the long run. It lasts. Gentleness. Gentleness is not a weakness. It's really says that we're teachable. We see in Paul a growth in this fruit of gentleness. Prior to his conversion, we see how he despised Christians and that he really was a very difficult and a mean man. But when he found Christ, his heart was changed. And suddenly, all of the work that he did was full of love and desire and to serve Christ. And that's a sign of a growth in gentleness. And then finally, of course, self-control. And certainly this behavior is clear that it's needed for the moral breakdown of so many behaviors of excesses in this life. Self-control truly is needed. So there are your nine fruit that Paul talks about. Charles Stanley, explains it this way. The fruit of the Spirit does not pop out of the believers through effort. Christians bear fruit through surrender. We take root in the Lord by meditating on His Word, praying, and serving. We reserve nothing for ourselves to control, but fully rely upon Him. That's not passive living. It's an abiding living. So I've talked about the fruits. I think I'm ready. This is always a risk, you know, when you rely on technology. But now we're ready for the results. We'll see if it's going to work for us up here. They said they need 10 seconds probably to get the screen up. So we're going to wait for a minute. Oh, I think there's a challenge switching over from one program to another. So we'll just let you work with that for a minute. And there it is. Okay, so if we look at our group of people here today, here's what you want. 33% are looking for patience. Wow. You know, I didn't tell you, or did I hint to you, you know, it's dangerous to pray for patience. You know that, right? Because you're asking for a test to bring out that patience in you. Okay, 33%, 22% self-control. There you have it. And then we got a several clumped together, faithfulness, love, joy, peace. And then our bottom two are gentleness and goodness. Very good. Thank you very much for that. Patience, huh? Wow. That's the results, and those are the fruit that we truly want in our lives. I honestly believe that every single one of us want that fruit of the Holy Spirit. I really think that when we talk about something that's missing in our lives or something we want, that's what we're looking for. I think the issue is that we don't necessarily commit to the work that it takes to have that fruit in our lives. So I hope you remember the one you thought you really want now, and that can become a focus for you, that you can work harder to receive that fruit from the Holy Spirit and realize it more and more in your life. And I think that we need to remember that it does take time to mature spiritual fruit. No different than it takes time to grow physical fruit. There's a process and a time that it takes. But always in the back of my mind, which always kind of makes me, I say, always shaking my boots a little bit when we come across these scriptures, I remember the parable that Jesus told about the tree that wouldn't bear fruit and how the farmer gave it one more year to bear fruit, and when it didn't, he cast it in the fire. Really makes me think a couple times about that, what that means. Sets inside of me a real sense of urgency. And so as we come to the table today, remembering that the Holy Spirit is in us to give us this fruit, let's allow that to be the focus of our time and coming to the table today about fruit of the Spirit. What is it that the Holy Spirit could pour into you more and that you would experience more than you have up to this very day?